Good morning. Welcome to the House Finance Committee Subcommittee for House Bill 30, an act relating to performance reviews, audits, and termination of executive and legislative branch agencies, the University of Alaska, and the Alaska court system, and providing for an effective date. Today is Wednesday, February 6th, and the time is 8:55. With us this morning, we have Representative and Finance Co-Chair Alan Osterman, Representative Tammy Wilson, Representative Les Guerra, and myself, Representative Mia Costello. It's my intention this morning that we'll be moving House Bill 30 out of committee back to the full Finance Committee, and the purpose of this morning's meeting is to consider two amendments, conceptual amendment number one and amendment number two. So with that, I would like Representative Wilson to move conceptual amendment number one.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to move conceptual amendment number one.
And I'll object for the sake of discussion. We would like to invite staff to Representative Osterman and staff to Speaker Chenault forward to discuss conceptual amendment number one. And if you could introduce yourself for the record, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, Peter Eklund, staff to Representative Osterman. Conceptual amendment number one was kind of sorted out, worked on between staff to the speaker and myself and some others. And would you like me just to go through it line by line? Okay,
thank you,
Madam Chair. So if you see that at the page 5, line 14, it's adding language that would say, so that the full sentence would read, and this is part of what the agency is supposed to, information the agency is supposed to submit to LBNA for the review team. Let's say they're talking about programs here that are not essential to the, and we would add, to the department mission or delivery of its core services. Then on page 5, line 17, there's an existing subset 4 there that we would delete and propose to replace with this information, or with this sentence. All information submitted to the legislature in the agency's most recent submission under AS 3707050, including missions, results-based measures, prioritization of core services, and all programs within the core services, from the most important to the least important. And that's just to clarify, Madam Chair, that right now in your, if you look at your black budget binders over here, our detailed budget binders, there will be prioritization of core services. And it may be 4 or 5 core services per agency, and it may be tens of millions of dollars per core service. And so the intent was to have a further refining of the information that's going to be submitted to the review team to also have programs prioritized, not just the aggregate core services. Then on page 6, line 8, we would insert basically that new paragraph, that new sub 4 right above, that the review team should evaluate all that material. Then on page 7, line 1, we would propose to delete the existing 1, the number 1 on line 1, and then replace that with new language that would read, evaluate the success of the agency in achieving its mission through the effective and efficient delivery of its core services, goals, programs, and objectives. So basically that would kind of be the overarching goal of this review. And then we would insert a new number 2 that would read, evaluate whether the agency's results-based measures demonstrate the effectiveness and efficiency of the agency's core services, goals, programs, and objectives, and were useful in conducting the review, and recommend changes if necessary. So also, as you'll note, Madam Chair, in your detailed budget books now, there are results-based measures that the agencies have in there. It's a mixed bag. Some of them are useful in our subcommittee process to review the effectiveness and efficiency of agencies' programs, and some of them are not that useful. And so we'd like the review team to make sure they look at all that information that's already being produced, evaluate whether it was useful in their conducting this agency review, and then let us know if those measures need to be changed. Then reorder the rest of the items in that list. Then on page 7, line 25, the existing, it's existing number 12, we propose to delete that and insert a new 12 that says, identify programs and functions duplicated by another government agency or private entity and recommend the most effective and efficient way to deliver those services, these services. And it's a little bit different than the existing 12. The existing 12 says identify a single entity to perform those programs or functions. And Madam Chair, there just may be, instead of just having one agency do the function, there may be maybe better to have better coordination and make it more efficient. So try to make it a little more broad as far as a recommendation from the review team. Then on page 8, line 2, I've got too many things highlighted on my page. Page 8, line 2 would be just replace that existing number 15 with this language. Identify reductions and or efficiencies recommended as a result of the review conducted under this section. So if there was a way, as opposed to just a straight out reduction, if they had a recommendation to make a program more efficient, we wanted that also. Then the last changes contemplated in this conceptual amendment are going back to page 4. It's reordering the years that are laid out for conducting these agency reviews. And the thought is there that we wanted to move up two of the bigger agencies. That would be Health and Social Services and Department of Education and the foundation formula. Move those up in the queue to be conducted earlier, since they're some of the bigger chunks of money in our budget, and move down the three pieces that were the Office of the Governor, the Legislative Branch, and the court system to the year 2017. So that is the conceptual amendment, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions from committee members? Representative Garrett.
The amendment seems fine. The only question I have is the term core services. So I think depending on who you are, one person might view an agency's core services as different than another agency. So for example, at the Department of Education, they provide funding to school districts, they do testing, they do high school qualifying exam. And so somebody trying to identify the core services might be looking at it and going, well, maybe testing isn't a core service, or I don't know. And now we're letting the people doing this review decide what are the core services. And I just don't think that's well enough to find. We certainly want them to find the 10% or more reductions, but I think the better term would be statutorily authorized services. That way you don't give somebody who's reviewing this the confusion of what's a core service that's authorized or required by statute. So they're not going, well, oh God, is the high school qualifying exam a core service? Is testing not a core service? Is busing not a core service? What does the legislature mean by core services? So, I definitely want them to comb through the agencies and find the potential cuts and to recommend the 10% that they think are the highest priority cuts. But it seems like statutorily authorized, those are the ones the agencies are allowed to do by statute that we as a legislature have told them they're allowed to do.
Representative Garrett, through the chair, we're not tasking the review team with writing core services. We're asking them to review the core services provided to them by the agency. And if every agency in all these black binders, these detailed budget books, already have outlined their mission, their core services, the results-based information that they measure how their programs are doing according to those core services. And a core service is basically defined as a unique contribution to the departmental mission. And so Those are already set out in by each agency and are reviewed to some level at this, at our, in our subcommittee process. But they are, we're not tasking the review team with coming up with core mission or core services, just reviewing the information provided by the agency.
Through the chair.
Representative Guerra.
I still don't understand what a core service is, and maybe I'll use a different example. Like, can they say that, obviously I blabber about OCS because that's something I know a little bit about. They've got to do a few things. One is protect children from harm, right? I mean, that's definitely a core service under anybody's view. One is, by statute, they're supposed to make sure that kids have job and educational opportunities. But I don't know if they would consider the latter a core service, even though it's a statutorily required service.
Representative Garrett, through the chair, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head what their core service is, but we could look it up in the HES detailed budget book, and we could find out what that is. I know, just because I remember we looked at it last night, like for a fish and game example, a core service is harvest management. That's one of their core services. We just looked at it, glanced at it last night. I can't remember the others, but it's all there. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but I'd be happy to look it up with you after this meeting.
Thank you. Pete, I just to get it onto the record, I think that the purpose of the legislation is to have conversations that are meaningful with the departments, and I appreciate the amendment because it then takes that missions and measures approach that we're already using and incorporates it into this process, and I think it's a good idea. So with that, is objection maintained to the conceptual amendment number one?
Sure, objection.
You withdraw objection?
I still would maintain an objection, just that I think they should comb through the statutory services the department provides and recommend the cuts. I don't think any of us know what the agencies have defined as core services and which statutory services aren't core services. We want to find 10% cuts.
So objection is maintained. I'd like my committee aide, Josh Walton, to read our names for a roll call vote.
I guess I would just offer that as a conceptual amendment to the conceptual amendment, replace core with statutorily authorized.
Representative Guerra has offered a conceptual amendment the amendment before us. Is there objection?
Objection.
For the sake of discussion. Any further discussion on inserting the word statutory rather than, it's my understanding, rather than core services? Is that your amendment?
Statutorily authorized, I think, yeah.
I'd like to speak to that. Okay. I think that you take education's budget and also HES budget. These are the two largest budgets we have. I think that we are actually tying the process and making it more stringent by inserting statutory, because in many cases, this is going to be a time-consuming process anyway, and to ask this review team to go back and identify which ones are in statute, they really are already doing that, because earlier in the process we're asking for them to look at is this something that the department does because it's called for in the Constitution. So I'll be voting against your amendment because I think it's duplicative in some ways and also constrictive in another way. So. Representative Wilson? Yes, Sharon.
For the record, Sharon Kelly, staff to Speaker Chenault. Chairman, that's the reference to statute is already in the bill. It's on page 5, line 5. And as the review is being put together, it lists all the statutes that are going to be considered by the agency. Will list those that will be considered by the review team. So I think that may be covered.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And right now, the way I understand the conceptual amendment, it really just ties what we're currently doing. The department already, I know with the Department of Education, takes their core services and they already prioritize them as part of what we're doing. So to me, to change that, because it's going to be years before every department gets it, what I see is that if we change much of this conceptual part here, we're really changing our whole system. So I too am against moving this other portion of it. I think right now we're just tying what we're doing and this bill together, so as we're waiting to get that total review, we may be finding some of these efficiencies hopefully along the way before we get to the total review.
Through the chair, you could be right. I'll withdraw the conceptual amendment and I'll just take a look at it later on. I don't really have a great understanding of what a core service is because I haven't looked through the books, and maybe I'll sit down and talk to an agency and see what they mean by core services.
Thank you. Josh, if you could call the roll call. So we are voting on conceptual amendment number one.
I have no objection.
Yeah, we're voting on the, okay, no objection. So with that, conceptual amendment number one passes. The next amendment before the committee is amendment number two, offered by Representative Guerra.
Thank you. I offer amendment number two. Do we have somebody from Ledge Legal online or here?
I'm going to object for discussion.
Yeah.
Thank you. We've had objection for the sake of discussion, and yes, I think Hillary Martin from Ledge Legal is online.
Okay, and Ms. Martin can correct me if I get it wrong. If I could just turn you to page five. The goal of this amendment is, I hope it's viewed as a friendly amendment. The goal of this amendment is to say we want you to find those 10% of potential cuts. The bill as it's written, if you look at line 11 on page 5, the first three types of cuts we want the agencies to try and identify, or our reviewers to try and identify, are those that on line 11 don't serve a current need, or line 12, are not authorized by the Constitution or statutes, or C, are not essential. And if you look at line 9, it says, look, if you can't find ones that meet those three standards, then we want you to dig deeper and at least prioritize some other cuts. They might not meet these standards, but we want you to come up with 10% of cut proposals, and we'll take a look at them. This is a document that's going to be available to the public. It's going to be a document that's going to be available to all legislators. It's going to be a document that we want legislators to understand as they're trying to evaluate where to cut if we can cut. And so all amendment number two says, and we'll have Ledge Legal confirm that it's written correctly, is say, if it meets one of these standards in lines 11 through 13, one of these three standards, just say that next to the proposed cut. And if it doesn't meet one of these standards, so it's something that does serve a current need, is authorized by the Constitution, and is essential, but now we're reaching into the next level of cuts, which are priority cuts that that even though they meet these needs, we're still looking for areas to cut because maybe we're in a big budget crisis. We'd like at least members of the public, members of the legislature, to be able to look through this report so they can know why this is proposed as a cut. And it'll be proposed as a cut because it meets those criteria in A through C. And if it doesn't meet those criteria in A through C, it's a cut because they said, well, this is the next level of priority. And that'll be helpful for the public to read the potential cuts and analyze them, for other legislators to read the report and analyze them and prioritize the cuts. It'll just be helpful. I mean, the agents, the reviewers are doing this anyway, and they might as well share with us why they picked that particular program. They're doing it because they've met A through C, or because it doesn't meet A through C, but it's the next level of priority. They're doing that in their minds. They might as well share that information with us so we can also analyze this before committee, if members aren't on the committee, if the public's looking at it. So it doesn't change the 10% of cuts or why you propose them. It just says, just identify which category they fit in.
Any further discussion? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, when we're talking about something not necessarily being essential or serve a current need, that's going to be a different department or a third party determining that. The department themselves may say, come back and say, well, we don't agree or not agree. So to me, this whole point is just kind of a direction that we're asking them to go when they're analyzing it. But I think to ask them to specifically say, you know, where it's followed, it's just going to make it more tedious. And at the end of the day, I just want to see a priority list of the 10% from kind of the least, what needs to go first all the way down, whether or not they determine it's a current need or it's not essential. To me, that's going to kind of be the debate once we get this information, because the department's going to come in and probably say it is essential or it is a current need, and I think you just start to fight a different way versus here's the 10%, now you come tell us why or why not, you know, why you have that into your budget. So I honestly think this will just, I don't think it helps the bill, so I'm going to vote against the amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is objection still maintained to amendment number 2?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, please call the roll.
Amendment number 2 to House Bill 30, Representative Osterman?
No.
Representative Costello?
No.
Representative Guerra?
Yeah.
Representative Wilson?
No.
The tally of the vote is 1 yay, 3 nays.
Thank you. And with that, I think those are all the amendments before the subcommittee. I would like to entertain a motion to move House Bill 30 with the changes made in this committee, and I'll instruct, if it passes out, I'll instruct my aide to prepare a committee substitute back to the full finance subcommittee. Representative Osterman?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.